We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, episode number 294. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local.
How's it going, man? Yeah, me too.
A little roller coaster ride. Lose a client here, gain a client there. Just weird, but that's all right. That's the industry at times.
How'd Scott do sit in for me last week?
He did good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to listen to him just so I can harass him, but I keep forgetting.
Yeah. I think he misses you. He misses the harassment. It just doesn't feel quite right. Right.
I know. we got a lot of stuff happened since the last time I was on the show. It's kind of nutty.
It's been pretty busy. It has been. And I don't think, one of the things that we talked about, I believe, in the last show was there's quite a bit of shakeup going on. At the time, it was anyway, in Google search. Fortunately, I have seen a few of our clients moving around, but I'm not sure if it's all shaken out yet. Scott would actually be more in tune with that. Have you seen much of a
I haven't seen much flux. I mean, we've got some client, like just the standard flux. I think what I'm waiting for more than anything is the switch over to the mobile first indexation thing to see how that impacts stuff. I got a feeling it's going to be minimal impact because they're going to try to ease us into it. But I think it just came out today. Barry posted on Search Engine Roundtable that they're not going to do a preview like they did many years ago for one of the other big algorithm updates. So we're just going to have to wait and see.
Oh, well.
But that
it will happen, and we will be shocked, probably, or maybe not. They did talk about doing it very, very gradually, so hopefully it will be almost seamless. But it'll be interesting.
It'll be one of those things like, okay, we're not announcing that we did this, or we're going to do this today. We're announcing that we did it 3 months ago, and nobody noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
They've done that before.
Oh, geez. Well, I guess we'll see. There's a lot of great articles out there right now. Actually, there was plenty of fodder for the show. And I get to thank good old Stefan Spencer for the first one. It's good to see him writing again. I know he's very focused on his personal branding and getting out some of his training out there. But this particular article is called How to Rank for Position Zero in Three Simple Steps, a Featured Snippets Primer. So that's on Search Engine Land. And what this is about, first of all, a featured snippet. This is created. This is something that happens. It often pushes down the search results. It's position zero because it technically isn't an actual ranking. it's a feature snippet that is created when Google programmatically
there you go
detects pages that answer the user's question and displays a top result as a featured snippet in the search results. That's a quote from Google. So there's different types of snippets. There's paragraphs, lists, tables. I'm not even sure how many more there are, but there's a few.
Yeah. And doesn't this all kind of go back to the idea that Google is trying to answer people's search questions in the search results instead of so they don't have to click through to somebody else's site? So people stay on Google long. There's a better chance for advertising. And it's the whole featured snippet thing is kind of controversial in itself for people who rely on traffic from Google, because it kind of takes that away. Because if someone's searching for an answer and they get it right there in the search results, they don't have to go to your site to get it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think it was Mike Blumenthal that said in one of his podcasts, there's no question whatsoever that Google's not our friend. You know, they're there to make money. It's that simple. And I hope I'm not attributing it to the wrong person. But anyway, it's pretty common sense in our industry that, you know, you've got to work with it and take the beatings when you need it. Because they're going to give it, you know. In this case, you know, just trying to get snippets is still not a bad thing. People will see your brand; they can click directly to it, which is good.
Yeah, it's definitely. I'm not saying being a snippet is a bad thing. Absolutely not. That's probably, if that's what's happening, you want to be that answer so you can get the brand recognition for knowing what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and as Stefan says here, getting a feature snippet may be less about the link metrics and more about the actual content on your page. So he says, if you are outgunned in terms of backlinks, then featured snippets could be just the thing for your business. Now, he does mention that there's the odd case where even a person on page two will show up as a snippet and, you know, outgun everyone on the page that has worked really hard to get their backlinks. That isn't very common, though. In most cases, it is someone in the top 10.
And one of the things they did recently tied to this, I don't think it's in this, I haven't read the full article, he may mention it, but literally just in the past couple weeks, they changed it. So where you could be the featured snippet and also have a listing on the first page. So like if you're listing number three for a ranking or for a query and you got the featured snippet, you'd have two positions on the page. They have changed it just in the past few weeks where if you get the featured snippet position, that page is no longer also in the search results for that page. So you only get the featured snippet now.
You could be on page two, but not page one.
Right. Exactly.
So that's it makes sense. It's a bit of a shame, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, as long as they keep giving enough brand awareness to the use of that snippet. Otherwise, I think that's a dirty move. But we'll see.
Right.
Now there was a study done by Stat, which reviewed 92,000 search queries for featured snippets and found the types of search terms which often return featured snippets are financial, mathematical, time, transitional, status, requirements, health, and do-it-yourself processes. So that was interesting. I mean, to get some idea of where they are showing up. Types of searches which rarely return them are local, info and help, factual, shopping, images and videos.
But if you think about it, almost all of those things you just mentioned that don't return feature snippets have some other kind of search result that shows up that takes the place of a feature snippet, right?
Like especially like video, local.
Images and local, yeah. So the standard old search results as we know them are no longer standard anymore.
Standard search result anymore? My God.
Yeah.
So I should note that, and he mentions this also, that this is not usually the first choice for a business, a local business to focus on. Local businesses should be focused on getting their Google My Business listing showing and featured on the side there. So it's best that focus on that first. I mean, there's no harm in getting these, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to have to focus your efforts, just focus on that. So Now, some other bits here. He says he gives some good tips here. He said that there actually had done a an updated study 6 months later and found that best or reviews, which were actually showing up in less or showing up less often, were now showing up more often. So it just gives you some idea of how things are changing.
Now, they will keep changing.
Yeah, exactly. He also mentioned that if you're looking for questions that people are searching for, answerthepublic.com was a good tip, a good place to go. I haven't used that one, I don't think. I've used other ones.
That's a great site for doing keyword type research, understanding how people are asking questions and the kind of answers they're looking for. It's a really good site for SEOs to know about and just kind of utilize as a resource.
Never mind. I know the one. Yes, I have been to it. Just didn't ring a bell as soon as I said it, I was like, wait a second.
Do they still got that guy on the front page?
They do. Yeah,
man. That guy's been there forever.
It's kind of funny, though. I like it. I like anything quirky and different these days. Websites can be so boring. he picks his teeth. It's just bizarre. He also gets into how to increase your chances of being selected for a featured snippet. So Stefan's model that he recommends is to first repeat the question that's in the query or which is implicit in the query, clearly and prominently on your page. And directly following the question, provide a short, direct, clear answer to the question. Then provide more information, data, images, and so on to answer the question as fully and completely as possible. Now, I have a little more to share in this, but before I get into that, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
How much are your best ideas worth? PriorThings.com gives you an added layer of protection for all of your intellectual property, ideas, and creative things. New business idea, pitch deck, PowerPoint presentation, song lyrics, source code, killer blog posts. We help you protect it all. How do we do it? We use the same technology platform that secures transactions for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Learn more at PriorThings.com. Check out exclusive listener pricing for Cranberry Radio listeners by going to bit.ly/FounderCircle.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Okay, we were just discussing Stefan Spencer's article here, how to rank for position zero in three simple steps, a featured snippets primer.
the only simple things we do, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all we ever do. So there's a lot here. I mean, he's really, as usual, done a fantastic job of really outlining this. And he does what I like, which is go going all out and creating the ultimate kind of article. So,
did you put the link to this on our Google Plus community?
No, not yet. No, okay, not yet.
That'd be good for people to see, especially since there's so much detail in this thing.
There is, yeah. So he mentions that how you format your HTML can make a difference too in whether a snippet will appear. And now I imagine there's a lot more to this, but he's putting out some of the basics here. Make the search query or a very close version of it heading a heading on the page. This means where possible, format that query or question in an H1, H2, and so forth. Next, summarize the answer to the question in a single paragraph. Format that paragraph in a paragraph HTML tag. Place that paragraph directly below the heading for the question and aim for making the answer paragraph roughly 40 to 55 words. It can also help to format your content as a list. I mean, he goes on and on. One of the things I thought was interesting here is he says, if you create a table in your content hoping for a table type featured snippet, it's best to use HTML table tags instead of CSS. That's very interesting. Sort of sad in a way that seems to help, considering we're supposed to get away from that. But
does he talk at all? And I haven't read the whole thing yet. Does he talk at all about the impact of schema, whether it helps or doesn't help, or if there is a specific schema that might relate to this?
He doesn't. Not that I saw. Anyway, I read it and skimmed tiny bits of it, but I don't see schema anywhere. Let me just check. I'll do a page search. Nope, schema is not mentioned.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because you would think he would have at least tested that and had some kind of response to whether it works or not.
Yeah, you would. Well, I'm sure someone's doing it.
Yeah. Or maybe he's just trying to keep an advantage for himself, right?
There you go.
I'm going to tell him 90% of what I know.
So in the next bit of news here, we got a little Bing going on. Bing has launched Bing Visual Search. And it's actually kind of cool, based on what I've seen anyway. This is an article from Matt McGee on Search Engine Land, and it talks about how you can search for specific objects within images. Within the images. And for one of the ones that really blew my mind was one that Matt did for, let's see here, he did a search for landscape ideas. I'll quote him here. He chose on the individual image screen in the results, a small magnifying glass appeared in the upper left. Clicking that launched the new visual search tool that let me pinpoint one specific plant from the dozens available. After I did that, Bing identified the plant as a snapdragon and then showed snapdragon. That's bloody amazing.
That's interesting. And it's really interesting because it comes on the heels of a Google I.O., a couple weeks ago, they launched a new visual search technology where basically you can take your phone, take a picture of an object, say a snapdragon, and that would be your search query instead of typing in search query. So you take a picture of a snapdragon, and it comes up with all this information and links and search results about snapdragons. So, and I read something earlier today talking about how images and imagery as a whole are really going to be the future of what we have to deal with search, and I don't doubt it at all. Especially looking where both these engines are going.
Yeah, I think we've been talking about it for years that we're kind of shocked it's taken this long. And I think really what's happened is well, as you mentioned, Google announced it. Well, look who just came out with it quickly, as though hello, it was just sitting in the wings. It's almost like they didn't want to put it out there because maybe they had it in a product line coming out. Or they were planning on it coming, and it just because it's too coincidental to come out at the same time.
With something else, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I wonder if it actually had put a kink in something, you know, in one of their future plans. But they're like, well, we can't sit on it now.
See, I think the next step will be doing the same type of thing that Bing's doing with images, with video across the board. Remember that time that such and such an actor said this in a movie, and you search for the quote and the clip, you know, it automatically goes to that spot in the video clip where that person said the thing you were searching for. That'll happen at some point too.
It totally, totally. And again, one of those things that we've been kind of, well, surprised it hasn't come. I guess we take for granted just how much CPU power they have to work with here, because that is insane. Imagine how much, with all the videos that are uploaded on YouTube on a regular basis.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I did a research literally 2 or 3 years ago. I said, okay, I think it was when was it? It was like 2010, maybe 2012, somewhere there. I said, okay, the average at the time was, I think, 40 something minutes of video uploaded to Google or to YouTube every second, right? So I took the entire year and I did the math and I said, okay, if I was to watch everything that was uploaded in this year on Google, or excuse me, on YouTube, how long would it take me? I did the math. It would take five generations of my family to get through every video that was uploaded in that one year.
You might just have a bit too much time on your hands.
Yes. Or I'm just too geeky.
Yeah. So to quote here, the total number of people who are who use YouTube is 1.3 billion. 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute. Hours. Almost 5 billion videos are watched on YouTube every single day.
Yeah, so that's just nuts.
Yeah, that's wow.
I wonder if YouTube is still only the second largest search engine. Are they going to take over?
Well, I don't know. Google owns
them. That's a serious question. I bet at some point they will become the largest search engine.
If something else doesn't come up before then, and I hope something else does. It's nice to shake things up a bit. But
if Facebook could figure out how to do search, they could be the biggest search engine, but they just suck at it.
You know, a search engine that works with, what's it called, augmented reality. Maybe there'll be an augmented reality search system. I mean, that's coming. It's going to be everywhere.
It's like alternative search.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're talking, Robert Scoble, one of my favorite tech guys, he's really, really appreciate his content, was saying just yesterday to his followers on Facebook that he finally got a little bit of intel on Magic Leap. You familiar with that?
I've heard the name, yes.
It's a super, insanely secret augmented reality platform that Google invested $500 million in starting, plus a whole bunch of other companies did too. I mean, it was crazy seed money. Anyway, apparently it has far more cameras and far more depth of field than HoloLens, Microsoft HoloLens, which is already amazing. It's blown away people. So the people who have tried it, apparently this Magic Leap, are floored. I just can't wait to find out more about it, but they're so hush about it. Apparently this year we will hear, but I don't know. Guess we'll see.
Interesting.
But that's just an example. I mean, those things, that they could make those things mainstream. Oh my God. It's just going to be nuts. Because apparently it's going to make it look as though there's like whatever you want to see, like whatever it is, a dragon or whatever it is that you're playing in a game is there. It's in front of you. And from a pure like tourist perspective, imagine having those things on and going on a historical walkthrough of an old building, a museum, a historical site that from a war, you could actually see bits of history being played out in front of you. It's nuts. The whole thing.
So they could virtually install Michelangelo actually painting the Sistine Chapel ceiling. So when you go to look at it, you can see it with him and without him doing it.
Yeah, you can walk around him and look at all the details of his clothing. I mean, it's nuts. Yeah. It's going to be so freaking cool. Kids are going to be just, they have no idea what they get, how lucky they are, the stuff they're going to get to see. But anyway. All right. Well, that was a little bit of a tangent, but those are fun. Okay. geeking out. Now, on that note about Bing, the Bing struggle. Bing is launching Bing Rewards in the UK, and later in France, Germany, and Canada. Now, what is Bing Rewards? Bing Rewards is their way of paying you to use Bing. That's how bad it's gotten.
They've been doing that for years, though.
They have, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They usually keep anything going this long. I mean, it's been the longest standing rewards form or any form of incentive to use Bing.
The only person I know who uses that and does that is Marjorie. You know Marjorie Ross. Mm-hmm. And that was years ago. I don't even know if she still does it. But it never really caught on that I know of.
I don't know. It looks silly to me. Like what some of the advantages are, you get 10% off on Microsoft stores. 10% off might bring it down to what it would cost to buy one of those things in Amazon. Right. Those Microsoft stores are so overpriced. I don't know. It just seems useless to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against Bing. In fact, I think there probably are a lot of use cases for it being perhaps even better than Google in on things, certain things. But it's just not where the game is. And it's where you have to focus.
What I read is that the one thing that Bing really does much better at than Google, if you're into this kind of thing, is it's pretty much known as the porn search engine now.
Jeez. Especially with this image search. Oh,
God. Yeah, with the new image search. Yeah, that's going to make it even funner, isn't it?
All right, we better not go down that tangent. It's going to get bad. Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, why don't you take the next one? Let's get off topic.
So if you guys were, I'm sure you guys covered this on the last show. Google put out a warning recently, kind of reminding us about article spam and guest blogging and that kind of stuff, and how basically guest posting can get you in a lot of trouble if you're doing it in a shady manner. And at the same time, there's been a lot of fluctuations in rankings this month, and people are wondering what's causing them and how it's happening. And Google very clearly came out and said, no, the post about guest, the article we did about guest post was just a reminder to everybody. It has nothing to do with the fluctuations you're seeing in the rankings. So if you were wondering about that, if they were tied together at all, Google came out very clearly and said, nope, nothing, no correlation here. Or no causation here, just correlation. Mm. So if you were worried about it, A, stop doing things that would make you worried about it. And then B, don't worry about it because it's not connected.
I just wish they'd give I'm just waiting. I mean, even Barry's doesn't seem to have – I mean, he's always the first to have any kind of insight on one of these updates. Don't get me wrong. He's got some I think I saw last week some ideas on why it's happening, but no one's really confirmed it, as far as I can tell, what is happening with these rankings. I mean, even Moz has been up in the 100-degree range, their tracking system for the
I think Barry on his site even did a poll, polling SEOs. Have you been seeing fluctuations in your sites? I didn't look at the results. I just saw they did a poll, but it's like for him to ask other people, hey, what's going on? Have you seen anything in a poll format? Means he doesn't have a lot of information.
Yeah, the last one I think I'm looking at here is he asked last month to fill out a poll about Google Fred. He wanted to see how many people were impacted by it. They said
there was a more current one.
Maybe there is. I haven't seen that. I can't see it. But in the Fred instance, it said, were you hit by it? 46% said yes. After he removed the not sure, it moved up to 55%. Sure, as a lot of us would say, not sure. That makes sense. I don't see it.
Yeah, he's got a poll here for the March 16th.
Oh, there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Got it. Right. And there's no results.
Like view results. No impact at all, 32%. Rankings declined 46%. Oh. Rankings increased 21%. But he has less than 200 people or just about 200 people responded. So... it's interesting.
Yeah, I think some of our local results have improved, but I did notice that a lot of our clients who were fairly low on the backlink scale, which I consider kind of the cement that keeps you there in terms of rankings, they are bouncing around. It should be interesting to see where they land, but these are fairly new clients, so we still have lots of work to do. Okay. So, if you do find yourself moving around a ton, do consider that you may need to do some work to cement yourself a bit. Get some additional citations, get some local buzz if you're a local business. Do some link attraction through creating some phenomenal articles. Of course, that requires a little planning. You can look at competitors or even similar businesses around the world and see what kind of content has done well for them. A lot of stuff. If you ever need help with that, let us know. Here at Stepforth, we do that quite a bit. And it's actually kind of fun. Authority building plans. They take a bit of time, but they are fun. I love looking at what's going on. Some wild stuff. Okay. What's next here? Oh, yes. DMOS.
And it's crazy that they're just now saying this. So basically, DMOS announced recently that we're going to stop using DMOS titles and descriptions, which also means that the no ODP meta tag, which is the meta tag you could put in the header of a page saying, don't use titles and description from DMOS, please. But that tag is no longer supported, which is amazing that it took them this long. Hasn't DMOS been closed for like 3 or 4 months already? They shut it down. I think it's still there, but it's like a static site now.
I wonder if this kind of, I wonder if this points to just how long it takes to make a significant change like this in Google. I mean, they had said earlier, like when it was shut down, that they weren't really paying any attention to any authority that it was providing. But now to actually remove their acknowledgement of that tag took a bit more time. I wonder if either it was a low priority, which I actually imagine it was, or whether or not it was a mixture of that and the fact that, you know, it can't be that easy just to make that kind of a tweak either.
I guess not. But I mean, DMOS has been pretty useless for a long time now, not just since it shut down. So you would think they'd have been working on this for quite some time.
I don't think I've even looked at MOS. I mean, DMOS for, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but 6 years?
Yeah, I think I was an editor like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about 10 years or 12 since I did one too.
Yeah. But again, maybe to your earlier point, which actually makes a lot more sense, is priorities. Maybe it just wasn't a priority for them, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we finally got around to this. We should tell people," right?
Yeah, or maybe it was done immediately. Like, "Oh yeah, we did this."
Yeah, exactly.
Just to make a little news, show that we're doing something, because it's certainly not news otherwise.
So this is this is kind of news because we get to make fun of Google, but it really shouldn't have any impact on your strategies. Anyway, because DMOS shouldn't have been part of your strategies to begin with, right?
No, and you don't have to go around moving your meta tag. If you happen to have it there and you're doing an update, go for it, remove it. But it's not going to hurt you at all.
Yeah, it's just going to do nothing but take up a couple pixels of space in your code. Yeah,
exactly. All right, so let's take a quick break. When we get back, we've got some Mueller files to share with you.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think eBrands. Free and unlimited SEO audit reports. eBrands. Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators. eBrands. Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators. eBrands. Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to ebrandswithaz.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for eBrands.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's FJOREGEdigital.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So what have we got here in the Mueller files?
Mr. Mueller answered a question on Twitter. someone was wanting to find out how to really get an idea of what Google sees when they're looking at their site. And it really came down to there's a couple ways to do it. One, you can look at the cached version of the page in the engine. And the other is you can do fetch and render at a Google Search Console. And basically, John Mueller says, and here's the quote talking about fetch and render. He says, "This is the closest representation of what Google sees when they crawl your site." So I know for years, one of the go-to things was to go look at the cached version of a page to see how Google's handling any kind of odd coding or content applications. We used to show clients that, look, your Flash is invisible by showing the cached version of a page, right? That kind of thing. If you're really trying to analyze what Google is seeing or not seeing on the page, what John's saying is the best way to do that is to do fetch and render in Search Console. Look at those results instead of using the cache. It's just kind of one of those things to help you get a little bit better data than what you might currently be getting when you're doing an analysis of a site.
Interesting. Okay. I know we've got a very tight timeline here. We only got a couple more minutes. So one thing I wanted to share with you, I thought this was an excellent article. It's called How to Use SEO to Influence B2B Buyers at Every Stage of the Buyer's Journey. And it's on Search Engine Land. I think it was done by Nate Dame. Any case, it's all about mapping marketing activities to the buyer's journey. This is pretty heady stuff for anyone who is not really getting in, you know, getting their feet dirty in the old marketing research and stuff. But you know,
you're saying it's not 101. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's hard. I was going to say that, but really, it is in a way. If you're doing marketing, it's good to know the buyer's journey. You know, what is it that they're doing on their way to? You got to know your personas, the people who are buying your products or buying your services. So, yeah, it's sort of in between. But what I liked about it a lot was that it explains the steps. You know, are those buyers consistently finding your brand along their journey? And then it suggests next to know the journey and then create content for every stage in the journey. And I would imagine that also includes ads. I mean, show up, do that, do remarketing. In fact, even reading it made me go, yeah, damn it. That's something I've always wanted to do more of with our sites and our work. I mean, we already get business, which is great. We take it for granted sometimes, though, because we really should be doing a lot more of this. You can get into some really cool stuff here. I mean, you look into, if you know that a particular client is or a prospect is going through review sites, if it's looking at a lot of, let's say it's a Search Engine Land, all these places, well, showing up there, writing for these places, that it's pretty difficult to argue that shows a certain authority that's going to be lent to your site, you know, and they're going to be like, wow, that's the site I keep seeing. I'm going to go there. I'm going to put in a proposal or request for proposal or whatever it might be. I mean, I'm just using our example. But,
sure.
Yeah. Anyways, it's very well written. Lots of great detail there. So I think I may even reach out and congratulate him because I think that kind of content needs to be out there more. It's pretty cool.
I guess I have to read it now, huh?
Yeah. So yeah. Well, if you find the time, right? Well, why don't we end on this one because I think this is pretty funny.
This is good. So if you're familiar with Ignite Visibility, I'm not who's behind that. Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard the name before, but I'm not sure who's behind it. They have basically created it's called SEO The Movie. It's a full-length documentary about SEO, and it's really told from the perspective and interviews with some of the people that are super well-known in the industry. Danny Sullivan, Rand Fishkin, they're even using people that have been out of the industry for a while that were really some of the pioneers, like Jill Whalen, to really walk through this entire journey that we've gone through with the search engines as SEOs. They've got a trailer out. I've watched the trailer. It looks like it's going to be interesting. It's released June 20th, which is just a few weeks away. If you search for Ignite Visibility SEO Movie, I'm sure you'll find it. I've seen it show up in my Facebook wall a couple times already. So I'm interested in watching it. Whether I can find enough time to watch a full length documentary on something is to be seen. But I'll give it a shot. If I can get it on my Netflix, maybe.
There you go. It looks interesting, definitely.
I'm just hoping it's not full of fake news, right?
Yes, of course. I mean, who likes that? Yeah. Anyway, On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.
If you've got a passion for pumpkin, you've got to get to Dunkin' and pick these up. Our new pumpkin cream cold brew. Smooth, bold cold brew topped with velvety pumpkin cream cold foam. And our delicious pumpkin spice signature latte. Rich espresso topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. And our perfectly pumpkin donuts, munchkins treats, pumpkin muffins, and more. That's how we pumpkin at Dunkin'. Pick your pumpkin at Dunkin', like our new pumpkin cream cold brew, pumpkin spice signature latte, and our perfectly pumpkin treats. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply.